Good morning, church. My message for this morning is God's best laid plans. Do you ever wonder what God is up to at this present moment? With the world in turmoil and the nation of Israel under attack by the majority of this world, what is going on? Why does God allow evil to persist? What is He doing with your life? Why would God not answer our request that we pray for daily? The people of God asked the same kind of questions during the days of Jeremiah. They were in exiles, living in Babylon, and they wanted to know why bad things were happening to them. For decades, Jeremiah prophesied judgment upon God's people. He turned out to be right. In the year 597 BC, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, attacked Jerusalem and carried the best and the brightest of Judah into exile. The likes of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But God kept Jeremiah in Jerusalem. Jeremiah chapter 29 was written to answer the question. This chapter contains a letter written by Jeremiah, who was still in Jerusalem, to the exiles. The main point of the letter is that God knows what He is doing, even when it does not seem that way. His plans are always the best laid plans. Let's dwell into the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 4 to 8 it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place." God had a plan and purpose for deporting the best and brightest of God's people to Babylon. The exiles thought that they were in Babylon for a couple of years because of what a false prophet Anania prophesies in Jeremiah chapter 28 verse 2, which says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." But God says they will be exiled 70 years. No doubt, the exiles discussed the stay in Babylon as harsh. That is not how God saw things. He viewed the exiles as a mission to bring light to the Gentile nation. They were His chosen people to bring light into all Gentile nations in the world, but alas, they were not interested in proclaiming the God of Israel to the Gentile nations. So why did God exile them to Babylon? Number one, to establish a presence in the city. God wanted His people to get involved in community development. In verses 5a it says, "Build houses and settle down." God wanted them to get involved in agriculture. In verse 5b it says, plant gardens and eat what they produce. He wanted them to start families. In verse 6, he says, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and daughters in marriage so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number, they do not decrease. In short, God wanted his people to go about their business as usual. Despite the fact that they were living in a godless society, and to proclaim the God of Israel to their neighbors and community. Number two, seek the peace of the city. Verse 7a says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. This means that they were to be good and friendly to the Gentiles. It means feeding the poor, loving every ethnic group that resides amongst them. It means living the Ten Commandments and teaching it to the Gentiles. Three, pray for the prosperity of the city. Verse 7b says, pray to the Lord for it because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Once they established a presence in the city and had begun to seek its peace, God's people were to pray for its prosperity. Jeremiah urges the exiles in verse 7, pray to the Lord for it because if it prospers, you too will prosper. They were to pray for the economy of the city, pray for the commonwealth of the city, asking God to bring justice to the poor and prosperity for everyone within the economic systems of the city. Pray for the safety of every citizen in the city. Pray for the politics of the city, asking God to grant wisdom and integrity to the authorities who govern the city. Pray for the restoration of virtue in public office. And lastly, pray for the people of the city. Pray for the Lord's blessing on all people's groups in the city. Pray for the neighbor and the welfare of the city. Then God says in verses 8 to 9, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. The exiles did not want to listen to what Jeremiah said through God. They assumed they will be in Babylon for a few years by listening to false prophets. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 14, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you. God makes a wonderful promise to his people in verse 11. The promise means that God knew what he was doing. He had known it all along. God makes his plan and then he carries it out. Everything he does is for the ultimate good of his people, as long as they followed his instructions. The exiles in Babylon had to live by faith. During the 70 years of captivity, they had to trust the promises of God. You would have noticed in this text that Nebuchadnezzar did not take them to Babylon, but God sent them there. In verse 4 it says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. The exiles were not captives, but were missionaries to proclaim the goodness and teachings of the God of Israel. They were being punished for the sinful, rebellious living, but even their punishment would have a redemptive purpose. The perfect example of God's good plans for his people in Babylon is the prophet Daniel. Daniel prospered in exile because of his faith in God. Daniel chapter 2 verse 4 to 8 says, "Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men." God's plans for Daniel were not easy. They included being attacked by his co-workers, persecuted for his faith, and thrown into a den of hungry lions. But God protected him and delivered him from all his troubles. You can read about this in Daniel chapter 6. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were committed to their faith, even when faced with a painful death. But God delivered them from death, and in doing so, brought the mighty king of Babylon to recognize God's lordship over heaven and earth. You can read about this in Daniel chapter 3. God's purposes in all his plans is to bring his people into intimate relationship with him. Verses chapter 12 to 14 says, "Then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." The exiles in Babylon did not have to wait 70 years to have a relationship with God. He invited them into a personal relationship in Babylon in their suffering. The lesson is easy to apply to us today. God is not absent in our difficult situations. He is available to us right now. Whenever we pray, he will answer. Whoever seeks will find. Eventually, the 70 years were up, and God raised up Cyrus, who will lead them to return and rebuild the temple. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 1 says, "This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue before him and to strip kings of their armor." Israel's prayers and changed hearts will lead to God's restoration of the nation. Through Cyrus, God will demonstrate his own sovereignty over everything. The book of Ezra and Nehemiah gives a detailed account of how the exiles returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and to worship God. God had kept to his promises to them, even though he knew they would mess up again. His best laid plans was sending his son Jesus to redeem his people and the world. So how does this text apply to us as believers today? The modern era of the church shares a disturbing similarity to the ministry of Jeremiah. Both reject the call to repentance by divinely appointed preachers in favor of a false message of optimism that denies divine wrath. In Jeremiah's case, the promise of return was for the old community of exiles. In the case of the church, the promise of salvation in Christ is for the old community of believers. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29 says, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise." This passage shows us what salvation in Christ has been from all eternity. God chose us and redeemed us according to his plan. We as believers have direct access to our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus. Remember, God has a plan for you in Christ. Our minds need to be refocused on what God says in his word and not what pleases us. We as believers are already experiencing God's best laid plans in our lives. Our salvation and redemption has secured our future in Christ. The exiles were comforted when they had faith in the promises of God. We as believers can be comforted when we too have faith in the promises of God. God is so gracious to us. He knows our struggles, and in the person of Christ, He identifies in our struggles. And so He assures us that His plan for our future is a good plan. It is a promising plan, and it is a plan to give us hope. What does God say to us this morning as a church first, and then as individuals second? We must be patient with God's plans, and we must understand the goal of God's plans. God has placed us in this city and in this church for a purpose. It is not accidental. God had a plan and purpose for us as believers. As believers, we do not need to be worried and anxious about the condition of our city, about our citizen, and about the future of our country and the world. When we express these emotions, we are actually showing that we do not have confidence in God's best laid plans in our lives. What God says to the exiles in verses 5 to 7 applies to us as well today. We need to, one, establish a presence in the city. God wants us to get involved in community development. God wants us to raise up godly families and provide for them. He wants us to be responsible in all spheres of our lives in this city. We need to be responsible in integrating into society and culture that we are part of. In short, God wants us to go about our business as usual, despite the fact that we are living in a godless society, and to proclaim the gospel to our unbelieving neighbors and community. Number two, seek the peace of the city. This means that we are to be good and friendly to all people. It means feeding the poor, loving every ethnic group that resides amongst us. It means living in the word of God to attract unbelievers to Jesus. Number three, pray for the prosperity of the city. Jeremiah urges the exiles in verse 7, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. We are to pray for the economy of the city, pray for the commonwealth of the city, asking God to bring justice to the poor and prosperity for everyone within the economic systems of the city. Pray for the safety of every citizen in the city. Pray for the politics of the city, asking God to grant wisdom and integrity to the authorities who would govern the city. Pray for the restoration of virtue in public office. We are so fond of criticizing and judging our leaders in national and provincial level, but we must not do that, because God says we need to pray for it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 to 4 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made to all people, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Can I give you a word of encouragement? They need prayer really badly. Pray for the people of the city. Pray for the Lord's blessing on all people groups in the city. Pray for the neighborhood and welfare of the city. And lastly, God wants us not to be misled by false prophets. We need to be careful with what we watch, listen, and hear in social media. False prophets are always more popular than true ones. So let me conclude. God is in control of world events. I hope this comforts you. I hope you realize that when things happen around you, that there is a God who not only knows about it, but in many cases predicted it. You may think where God is in the situation you are at the moment, or the crisis we are facing in our nation. Take heed. His Spirit is in us, and we need to live by His Word in every situation we find ourselves in. God knows the plans He has for every believer. If God's plans are for the future, we as believers must not complain in the present. If God has plans for hope and a future, we must give Him enough time to work them out. His timing is perfect, because His plans are the best laid plans. Amen.